Welcome to the Shirin Tagumim Parshas Devarim. We were going through the section of Perek Aleph yesterday where the Torah is describing Moshe Rabbeinu's attempts to create a court system, and we noted some of the difficulties that he encountered. He was not able to find Nevonim. He found Chachamim and Yeduim. He found people who were knowledgeable, and then Yeduim we saw Machlokas on Beforeshim, what that means exactly, but Nevonim, Mevinim Dover, Mitoch Dover, people who are able to extrapolate and take the knowledge that they had and apply it, he didn't find, and again, as we explained yesterday, it makes sense to say that it's not that he didn't find them at all. It's hard to say there was nobody in Klal Yisrael who could be Mevin Dover, Mitoch Dover, who could extrapolate, you know, B from A, but he didn't find them in the kind of numbers that he needed, you know, where that would be a prerequisite for the job. It's, you know, he found some of them, but he had to compromise with some of the other positions. We saw yesterday his exhortations to the Dayanim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin, Vod Saves, Shofteichem, Boisahi Lemar. I commanded the judges at that time, saying, Shomoa ben Achechem, you should listen between your brothers. In other words, when the two litigants come with a dispute, you should listen to them. So, of course, we ask the question, of course you should listen to them, as opposed to what? Right? The litigants come and you run the other direction. I don't want to hear anything. Right? So, we saw that the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, first of all, says that once you listen to them, you must judge the case. Once you accept to judge the case and you hear their tainas, you can't say, well, want to back off at this point. Once you're in, you're in. Again, there might be conflicts of interest that come up that you weren't aware of, but assuming those are not present, once you agree to judge the case, you have to judge the case. You have to allow each of them time to say their entire side of the story. You can't let one go on and on and on, and the other one, you cut them off. That's Shamoa Bein Acheichem. You have to listen to them equally. Ushvatetem Tzedek, and you have to judge fairly, you have to judge based on justice. So we saw the Yonasan ben Uziel says that this means that you have to judge bikshot, with truth, but upashrus shlama. You also have to engage in pshara, you have to engage in compromise between the sides. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that the ideal, again, not in all cases, but in many cases, is to judge what's called pshara krova ladin. You have to come up with what the letter of the law would require, but then you have to try to come up with some kind of compromise which is close to the letter of the law, but also lets each side feel that, you know, it's not a winner and a loser, it's that everybody gained something in this story. Now, again, as we pointed out yesterday, there's some places where pshara would be inappropriate, right? If I lend you $1,000 and you default on the loan, you're not interested in paying back any of the loan, right? And you have the money, you're just not interested in paying back the money, right? I didn't understand it as a loan, I understood it as a gift. Well, that's nice that you understood it as a gift, I understood it as a loan, right? And they come to Beis Din, and it's clear that the guy is just, you know, he's no interest in giving back the $1,000. So we wouldn't say in that case, well, let's make a pshara, you know, give back $700. No, the guy took $1,000, he owes $1,000, he has $1,000, so give back the $1,000. The pshara isn't relevant over there. But in certain cases where it's less clear-cut, you know, where they're, yeah, Reuven is more right, but it's not as if Shimon is entirely wrong either. You know, in cases like that, where their pshara is appropriate to try to come up with something that respects the fact that, you know, there are two sides to many a story. Sometimes there aren't two sides to a story, but oftentimes, more often than not, there are two sides to a story. So that's what Shvatetem Tzedek. Then that's what we saw all yesterday. So the very end of the pasuk ends off that you should judge properly, tzedek, bein ish uvein achiv uvein geiro, between a man and his fellow. Again, achiv over here literally means brother, but it's not meant in the biological sense of the term. Bein ish uvein achiv means between the two litigants, ish uvein achiv, right? Now there's the two guys who come, the two fellow Jews who come to Beis Din to be judged, uben geiro, and between his ger. What does that mean? So Rashi over here writes Uben Gero Ze Baaldino. This refers to the one who is representing his din, She Oger Olav Dvorim, that he is gathering. You know, the word ger is related all the word to the word ogar, to gather things together. The one who is gathering words or perspectives against them. Meaning, there are the two litigants in both sides of the court case, and there may very well be one or both of the litigants who are represented by someone nowadays that they would call a toeng. A toeng is a rabbinic lawyer. Right? In other words, I come to Beis Din, I don't really know what to say for myself, so I get somebody who knows halacha better than I do, who can present my claims in a way that the Beis Din is going to be more receptive to them. So all three of those parties, in other words, the two litigants and the toeing, the person who's representing the other individual, one of the individuals, or the two people are representing both of the individuals, they should all be part of that discussion. That's the way the Yonasan ben Uziel as well translates this phrase. Ben gavra lo achui, uvein man de ma'agir mile dinin. Right? Between a man and his fellow, and between anyone who gathers together the mile dinin, things related to the dinim. In other words, like we said before, a toeng, you know, somebody who is putting together, you know, you bring your story to him, he says, oh yeah, it's a shach, an excise and an asivus, yeah, sure, we'll put it together if you have all shtickle Torah, right? He doesn't tell you, by the way, that he gave that as a chabur in yeshiva and they slugged it up. Okay, whatever. But, you know, he has a whole shtickle Torah to help you out, you know. So that guy who's representing your side, he's also part of who the dayan has to listen to. He has to listen to the litigants, he has to listen to those representing the litigants. Rashi, incidentally, brings another interpretation. Uven geiro, afal iske diro ben chalukas achim. The judges have to deal even with things that may seem petty, like when brothers have to divide up a residence that they share. You know, they were yoresh, they inherited a certain residence. They need to divide it up. Afilu ben tanur lekirayim. Even if they're just dividing up the area between the oven and the stove, in other words, insignificant, petty parts of the division, the dayanim have to deal with everything. In other words, you know, nothing is too petty for the dayanim to be misyachas to relate to. How did you get that interpretation out of the words ubein geiro, right? Afilu ben tanur lekirayim, even dividing up the oven and the stove. Okay, it's a very beautiful idea that even if, you know, the brothers, you know, yarshin the stove together, right, and the whole stove is worth $50, and they have to figure out how to divide it equitably, you know, in a way which is appropriate. So the Beis Din shouldn't just say, there's a program online for that, you know, what are you bothering me? The Beis Din should get involved. If you want the Beis Din to adjudicate, the Beis Din will adjudicate. Fine. Where do you see that in the pasuk? So the Mefarshim over here write that this drasha is explaining the word geiro as if it was written kiro. Sometimes a gimel and a chaf can be exchanged with one another. And it's ki'ilu, it says kiro. Kiro is a stove. Bein ishu, bein achiv, even bein kiro. Even if the only discussion is how to divide this $50 stove between the two of them, if that's a discussion they want to have with the Beis Din, you know, has the it's appropriate for the Beis Din to get involved. They can't figure it out on their own how to divide something of such negligible and minuscule value. Okay, so that's the second pshat that Rashi brings. Again, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel adapts the first pshat in Rashi, that which again seems to fit into the words of the pasuk better. You know, that what we're talking about over here is adjudicating between litigants, but also between their toanim, their lawyers, those who are representing them. And the Beis Din can't just say, oh, lawyers get lost, we hate lawyers. You know, the Beis Din has to relate to the lawyers as much as we're relating to the litigants. But it's interesting to note that Targum Unkelus gives what seems to be a different interpretation of this phrase. It translates it as Ben Gavra u Ben Achohi, between a man and his fellow, uben giore, and between his ger, his convert. Now, what do you mean, between his convert? So the Oz Vahada writes over here that probably the more accurate reading of the Targum Unculus would be not the word giure, his convert, but giura, with an aleph at the end, a convert. In other words, what the Pasuk is trying to stress is as follows. The system of justice that Moshe Rabbeinu was setting up for Klal Yisrael is not just for Jews from birth. It's, you know, we don't say that if you join the Jewish people later on in life, that you lose out on privileges. Oh, you know, you can come, you can join us, but you have to sit in the back of the bus. No, in other words, the ger is part of Jewish life, the fabric of Jewish life, as much as any born Jew is. And the proof of the pudding is in the judicial system. You know, it's not like we have first-class citizens or second-class citizens. The ger is represented in the judicial system just as much as ish ben achiv, just as much as a man and his brother, right? So why does the Torah need to bring this out over here according to the Targum Onkelos? I guess the word achiv, which of course we said doesn't mean literally your brother, it means, you know, the guy who's actually took you to court, you know, the other litigant in this particular case, you're probably not feeling particularly brotherly towards him, I would imagine, you know, during the course of this, you know, of this court case. What's that? Yeah, right. Enochinami, right? But you know, the language bein ish or bein achiv does call to mind that maybe the bezdin is restricted to your someone who comes from the same place that you come from. In other words, you were born Jewish, he was born Jewish. He's therefore your ach, he's therefore your brother. This guy who converted to Judaism and joined the party later, maybe you would think he's not your ach. Maybe you would think that he's not your brother. You know, in other words, that, yeah, he joins, but he joins to sit in the back of the bus. So chas v'shalom, that's not true. That's not what the Torah is emphasizing. That, you know, the dinim applied to born Jews, and they apply to gerim as well. And it's the same standard of justice applies to everyone. That's the Targum Onkelos on this pasuk. But again, as we noted, Rashi and the Targum Yonasan of New Zealand interpreted differently, not because I think they disagree with that principle, a ger is equal under the law, but just in terms of interpreting the pasuk, they see the word ger in the pasuk as not referring to a ger, but rather to a toeng, somebody who's gathering, you know, the various different dinim and trying to present them. So the psukim continue. Lo sakiru ponim ba mishpat. Don't play favorites. Don't recognize faces when it comes to justice. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, Zeha memuna lahoshiv ha-dayanim. This is not actually talking to the dayanim, this is talking to those who are appointing the dayanim. Shelo yomar, so a person, the one who's appointing the dayanim, how do you pick dayanim? So you shouldn't say, ish ploni na'e o gibor. You shouldn't say, so-and-so is a very handsome fellow. Or he's a very strong fellow. O shivero dayan. I'll make him a dayan. Ish ploni krovi. So-and-so is my relative. O shivero dayan bo'ir. I'll make him a dayan. For who ain't o baki bedinim? You know, there's only one problem. You know, he just doesn't know anything about the halachas. He's very good looking. You know, in a frock coat. Wow. You know, the guy looks amazing. Right? And he happens to be related to me. So noch besser, right? But he doesn't know what he's doing. Nimsum chayvus hazaka mizaka is a chayv. Right? So it turns out that this dayan is going to mess everything up. He's going to make the guilty party innocent and vice versa. Mali ani al misha minahu ki'ilu hikar ponim badin. So the memune, the one who's appointing these dayanim, is considered as if he's a dayan who is playing favorites. Because essentially, the one who's appointing the dayan who doesn't know what he's doing is playing favorites. In other words, he's creating a situation where the dinim are not going to be paskened, in the proper fashion. Right. So I think everything has to be understood in terms of relative terms. Meaning, I think we all understand the guy who doesn't know an aleph from a beis we all understand that he's not really sure to be a dayan. Okay. But in real life, it's very often more of a gray area than that. The guy kind of knows, but there's another candidate who's a better candidate for him than him. It's just that this person, there are external factors that may want you, may cause you to favor him as being a dayan. And maybe you can even argue, based on the Rambam that we spoke about yesterday, where the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, find people who are yiduim l'shivteichem, meaning people who are well-liked, among the people. Well, this guy is well-liked. He's not quite on the caliber of that other candidate, but he's well-liked. He's very, very popular. It's not, in real life, it usually doesn't boil down to a very black and white choice. This guy is totally qualified. This guy is totally unqualified. There's three levels of being qualified. Try to find the best candidate and don't let these other factors come into your thinking. And look, in life, these other things come into our thinking. There's a reason there's a word for potexia, right? It happens, right? So even Moshe Rabbeinu, even the Dor HaMidbar, he had to tell them, you have to be careful about this. You can't take it for granted. Kakoton kagodol tishma'u. You should listen to that which is small, just like that which is big. So here the Targum Onkelos writes, Mile ze'era kirabo tishma'un. Small things like big things you should listen to. Rashi writes, the din that involves a pruta, the smallest amount, should be as beloved to you, or as important to you, as a din that involves 100 talents. If you have a roster of different cases to listen to as a dayan, and the first case is a case over 30 cents. And then there's a $5 million case, which is going to be judged later on. So you're dying, you say to yourself, look, let's start with the $5 million case. That's really important over here. The two people who are squabbling over 30 cents, we'll deal with that at the end of the day. When we're all tired, at the end of the day, we'll deal with the 30 cents. What's the big deal? So the halacha is, as Rashi brings over here from the Gemara, no. It's first come, first serve. If the first people who walk into the Besdin that day are arguing over 30 cents, and behind them in line are two people who are arguing over $5 million, you have to deal with the case of the 30 cents first. In other words, what matters over here is the truth of halacha. And, to say that, okay, it's a small case, it doesn't really matter. 30 cents, who cares, I'll give you 30 cents, just get out of here already, Okay, but, the halacha has to be adjudicated. Then he writes the following. Dover acher, kakoton kagodol tishmeun. Right, another interpretation of this phrase is kitargumo. It's in accordance with the targum. Shlo tomar, you should not say ze oni hu v'chaveru oshim and suvelu farneso. Don't say, these two people are coming before me in din. This one is poor. That one is rich. Right? So the truth is, forget about the truth of this particular case. Rich people should take care of poor people. Right? So, azaka es ha'oni. I will declare the oni, the poor person, to be the innocent one. In other words, the one who's owed the money. But imsum is finest, but akiyos. Right? If they're arguing over $5,000, for this rich person, $5,000 is nothing. For this ani, the $5,000 can make it or break it. So you know what? I'll pass it in favor of the poor person, not because it's right, but as a form of tzedakah. The rich person has to support the poor person anyway. So no, you're not allowed to do that. Kakoton, kagodol, tishma'un. You have to treat each of them equally, try to be done the din properly, regardless, don't favor the rich person, but at the same time, don't favor the poor person either, just because he's poor, right? Just try to come out with the proper din. Okay. What's that?
In other words, God only should grant person, but not small person.
Right. In other words, you know, the wealthier person versus the poorer person. So what's interesting to note is that Rashi writes that this interpretation is kitargumo. It's in accordance with the Targum. Now that doesn't seem to be in accordance with our Targum. Our Targum says, Mile ze'ero kirabo tishma'un. Right? The small things like the big things you should listen to. It seems like the Targum is really saying, you know, smaller dinim, you know, should be treated with the same chashivas, with the same importance of big dinim. It's interesting to know that Rashi attributes the second pshat to the Targum. Our Targum, I think, sounds a little bit more like the first pshat. The back here, in the Oz V'Hadar Chumash, he quotes the author of the Taz, in his commentary, Beis David, who writes, "Kimistaber kitou sofer hu b'Rashi." It seems as if there's a mistake in the versions of Rashi we have. V'kitargumo musav al pirish rishon. The words kitargumo in Rashi really refer to the first pshat in Rashi. In other words, the first pshat in Rashi, that you should treat a din of 30 cents like a din of $5 million, that's really, you know, what the Targum is saying. Ki kavanas ha-targum ba'omer mile ze'ira ha'inu dover gadol or kato. V'ha'inu din pruto k'din meyo. Right? So the Taz writes that the way we have Rashi is a little bit, that there's a mistake in our versions of Rashi. The word targumo should really go on the first pshat in Rashi. The author of the Oz V'Hadar argues on that Taz. He writes that usually when Unkelus is talking about a larger din, you know, a larger case or a smaller case, he uses the word piskom ze'era, piskom ze'era, piskom rabba. The word mile ze'era, which is the way we have the Targum Unkelus, means the words, not the things, not a small thing or a bigger thing. It means the words of the ze'era, the small one, or the words of the rabba, the great one. And as such, he pushes back against the Taz and says that no, what the Targum Unkelus is referring to with the words mile ze'era k'rabba means the tainas, you know, the words presented by the smaller person, the poorer person should be given the same consideration as the words, the complaints, the tainas put forward by the richer person, and vice versa. In other words, it's not a reference to the size of the case, but rather the status of the litigants and how they have to be treated equally. So, I don't know. I mean, my gut is more like the Taz, to be, for whatever that's worth. You know, that it seems like a lot to read the second shot into the Targum Unkelus, and maybe there was a different version altogether that Rashi had of the Targum Unkelus over here. The Yonasan ben Uziel writes, Mile ze'era heike mile rabo tishma'un. Again, it's hard to tell. It doesn't really add that much to give us a sense of which way he's going in terms of this discussion. Hard to know. The pasuk goes on to say, Lo saguru mipnei ish. Don't be afraid of any man. Here the Yonasan ben Uziel writes, Lo sidchalo mikodem atir v'shultan. Don't be afraid in the face of someone who's rich. Don't be afraid in the face of someone who's a shultan, who's powerful, who's a leader. Right? Why? Ki amishpat leilokim hi. Who? Because judgment, justice, belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arum dino min kodem Hashem. Justice comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chomei kol tumraya. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything which is hidden. Right? So in other words, the Targum of Yonasan ben Uzziel says, why should you not show favoritism? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see into your head. You may be able to fool some of the people that you're not really being, you know, you're not really playing favorites. You're not really favoring one over the other. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMishpat Le'elokim, he, who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you're looking over your shoulder, and he will hold you, you know, to task for what it is that you did. Rashi on that phrase, Ki HaMishpat Le'elokim, who writes, Mashato noto mizesh shelo kedin, if you will, you know, have Reuven pay Shimon where it's unwarranted, atum is kikeni lahachzir lo, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to have to get involved and force Shimon to give the money back to Reuven in some way or another. Nimso shi teso alai HaMishpat. So it comes out that by abdicating your responsibility as a judge, you've basically kicked it up to me, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because now I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have to get involved and make that money that was taken improperly go back from Shimon to Reuven. Upiskama diikshe minchon, right, the pasuk ends off, Badover she yikshe mikem, whatever is too hard for you, takrivun oilayu shmativ, right, you should bring to me and I will listen to it. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if it's too hard for you, I'll adjudicate it. But Sava eschem bo isahi, the pasuk ends off by saying, at that time I commanded you, eskol advar masher tasim, I commanded you all of these things which we will carry out. The pasuk on the surface seems to be extraneous. Right? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I told you everything that you should do. He just got through telling us all the things that Klal Yisrael is supposed to do. So the Yonasan ben Uzziel writes, and Rashi writes this as well, Upakedis yaschon bidona hahi, at that time I taught you, yaskol asra piskamai de sabdun beni deni momen ola deni nafshasa. I taught you the 10 distinctions in halacha between dinei nefashos and dinei momenos. Right? There are 10 different differences in halacha between adjudicating capital cases versus adjudicating monetary cases. And I taught you how, as dayanim, you have to be sensitive, you know, to those things. I mean, again, just to take one example, in a capital case, if everybody convicts the accused, so he's not executed. Right, it's almost the opposite of American law. In American law, you know, the entire jury has to agree. In Din HaNefashos, you know, if everybody convicts the guy, so it means they weren't trying hard enough to figure out some way to exonerate him. So he actually gets off the hook in that particular case. Right? In Din HaMamonos, that's not true. In Din HaMamonos, if everybody decides that Reuven owes the $1,000 to Shimon, so he has to pay the $1,000 to Shimon. And many other, again, 9 other distinctions between Dini Mamonos and Dini Nefashos, it was these things that Moshe Rabbeinu laid out before the Dayanim so that they should be able to do their job in the best possible way.
So under what circumstances could somebody be convicted?
If there's one dissenting opinion. Yeah. Okay, we'll pick up over here. Bez Hashem, Reb Chananu ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lizachus, Yisrael,